If you'll open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 19, we've been working through the book of Exodus on Sunday evenings. Exodus chapter 19 is significant because it's a kind of preparatory chapter for the giving of the Ten Commandments, which is in Exodus 20. So that means that next Sunday night, we will start looking at the Ten Commandments. We're going to take one Sunday night per commandment and look very closely at the giving of the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm going to be referring to the law tonight in speaking of the Ten Commandments. The law is actually larger than the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments kind of form the core of what we mean when we talk about God's law and the law of God, the holiness of God, and the commandments of God. So Exodus 19 reveals to us that the children of Israel are now have approached Mount Sinai and are preparing themselves for God's amazing act of self-revelation in the giving of the Ten Commandments. That's what we're going to consider this evening. In Cormac McCarthy's novel, Blood Meridian, the judge, who is kind of an ominous nihilistic character who almost is a kind of a demiurge, he's a kind of a larger-than-life, just amoral, just wicked person, and he is speaking about God and man, and he says this. He says, if God meant to interfere in the degeneracy of mankind, would he not have done so by now? And what he meant by that probably was that in his opinion, there was no God, or if there is a God, he was some sort of deistic God who stands at a distance and watches humanity essentially tear itself to pieces. Very negative and pessimistic view of reality, but probably a view of reality that many people share today. Well, of course, Christianity has always said the exact opposite, that God has indeed, quote, interfered in the degeneracy of mankind, and he has done so primarily through what we call revelation. That is, he's revealed something about his character, about who he is. Now, the definitive act of revelation in the Old Testament was the giving of the law and also the ministry of the prophets. When the prophets came and said, thus saith the Lord, they were saying things about God. They were revealing truths about God. So the law and the prophets constituted the primary act of God revealing who he is in the Old Testament. We know that the ultimate act of self-revelation was the incarnation, when the Lord Jesus came and was born of the Virgin Mary, when God came to us, Emmanuel, God with us. This is God's ultimate act of revealing who he is, to the point that Jesus could say, he who has seen me has seen the Father, to the point that Paul could say of Jesus that Jesus, quote, explains the Father. And this is an amazing thing. It's also significant when Jesus comes and says, look, I have fulfilled all the law and the prophets, meaning all of the earlier ways that God revealed who he is through the giving of the law and the ministry of the prophets, all of that finds its fruition, its culmination in me. Jesus is the ultimate final statement on what God is like and on who God is. But the law and the giving of the law is also an act of revelation. It was God saying to lost mankind, I am a holy God and my character is holy. And so to have relationship with me means that you must walk in obedience with me. And so that's what we're going to consider this evening. And that's the first point. Number one, obedience enables us to receive and enjoy God's loving desire for union and relationship. Before we ever get to the giving of the first commandment in Exodus 20, we have God giving a rationale for why he is going to give the commandments in Exodus 19. So let's begin with verse 1 and look closely. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, okay, we know we're on this side of the Red Sea now, they're traveling in the wilderness. On that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain.
Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, now think of this in terms of God's revealing himself and preparing them to get ready for the giving of the law. This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. So Moses, go down and tell them this. Verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my commandment, my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to him. Now, church, this is profoundly important because it shows that even in the Old Testament, which we shouldn't even have to say, by the way, we're Christians. We believe in Genesis to Revelation. We believe all this is God's word. So I don't mean to sound like this is surprising, but for some of you who think that, you know, the Old Testament God is some sort of wrathful, dark deity and the New Testament God is some sort of just happy, manageable deity, I would like to propose to you that God has been God and has never changed one iota in all of eternity, and that he is the same God here at Sinai as he is in Bethlehem when the Lord Jesus is born. But notice, God's desire and the reason he gave the law was so that, quote, "You will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." It's often been said that it was really Jesus who talked most about the kingdom of God. But notice that the kingdom of God as a distinct reality within the larger world is being taught here at the giving of the law. Forever, God has envisioned his people as a kind of oasis of kingdom identity in the midst of the larger world. It's a significant thing he says there in that passage. The whole earth is mine, but you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Within the world, I am going to create a people. So it's actually kind of an interesting conversation around the notion of the brotherhood of man. You know, all of us speak of the brotherhood of man, and I think rightfully so. And what we mean by that is that all people the world over somehow have a kind of solidarity with each other by virtue of the fact that we exist. And that cuts across all lines. All human beings share the experience of being human beings. But the question becomes, does the kind of humanitarian notion of the brotherhood of man mean the universal fatherhood of God? Meaning, can it really be said that God is the father of all, or is he not simply the father of his own children? Well, clearly God is saying here that he is the creator of all, and that nothing exists without his will. However, there is a special affection for his people, those who enter into the family of God. We would say, of course, through the blood of Christ, because on this side of the cross, we know now that all of this was driving towards the cross. When we come to Christ, yes, we have a solidarity with all of humanity, but we have a particular solidarity with those who are in Christ, the church. We are a kingdom, see, within the world. The fact that we are a kingdom within the world does not make us indifferent to the world. And that's because we have a mission to the world. But we are aware of the fact that we are a people among the peoples. We are a kingdom among the kingdoms. I just think that's profoundly significant. This will sound familiar to you, by the way. You've heard this
in 1 Peter 2:9, which we've actually talked about, I think, the last 3 weeks now around here, when Peter wrote, "You are a chosen race," notice the similar language, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I just want you to realize something. God has never...